John Corigliano has written 3 symphonies, many concertos, over 100 works, in fact, including the music for the film The Red Violin, which tells the story of an antique violin and its various owners through the ages. Corigliano added an Oscar to his immense shelf of awards for that one. Naturally, he traveled from the Upper West Side to Hollywood for the ceremony nearly 20 years ago. I watched the little clip of you accepting your Oscar. It seemed as if you didn't necessarily expect it.
I sure didn't. I had no idea that was going to happen.
Here are the nominees for Best.
It was 2000, and the film American Beauty had come out in the past year, and everyone was certain the music Oscar would go to Thomas Newman for that score.
And I thought, well, let him get the Oscar. We'll just go to the party afterwards and see all the famous people.
And the Oscar goes to...
And then they called my name.
John Corigliano for The Red Violin.
So he did what Oscar winners do.
Thanks so much.
He got up to speak.
You know, I'm from another world of classical music. And when I write my symphonies and my concertos, it's a very lonely profession.
And he went on to say that when you write a film, it's a lot less lonely.
Is how communal it is.
And he's going along with his speech.
And then this neon sign came on saying in 2 words, one was blue and one was red, get off, get off. And this music started playing. And I sort of knew I had to make my exit.
Corigliano, Oscar-winning and Pulitzer Prize-winning composer, was surrounded in his youth by people living the classical music life. His father, John Corigliano Sr., was the concertmaster, the first violinist of the New York Philharmonic. His mother, Rose Buzin, was a pianist and teacher. But there were other circumstances, too.
I actually got interested in composing from the LP record.
He was 12 years old in 1950, just when long-playing records got going.
I had a huge Klipsch corner cabinet with a 15-inch woofer, and I was so thrilled to get this orchestral sound in my house. And one of the records was Billy the Kid of Aaron Copland. And when I heard the bass drum in that in the gunfight scene, of course, I was overjoyed. And I'd go to the piano and I'd start experimenting. And I think hearing contemporary music from the LP record is what got me started as wanting to really do that myself, write music myself.
Because frankly, he says, it was complicated having musicians for parents. When he wrote his first full-on piece of music in the 60s, a sonata for violin and piano, it was recognized instantly and won a prize at the music festival in Spoleto, Italy, and it made his name. But I had read his father, the violinist, wasn't fond of the piece.
It's not that he didn't like it. He didn't look at it. I gave it to him, and he put it in a drawer in his closet. And he said, I look at too much music. I can't look at this now. Then it was played by the concertmaster of the London Symphony, and he didn't look at it. Then it was played by Roman Totenberg, and people started saying, when are you going to play your son's sonata? And finally, he took it out of the drawer and started looking at it and practicing it. And then he learned it and played it for the rest of his life and loved it. And we established a bond.
Just in case you thought music was handed to John Corigliano on a silver platter. Not really. With Corigliano, one thing led to another. He taught himself to compose by finding ideas and material that gave him a place to start.
Because composing is so abstract. I mean, you could do anything. You just put your hands down on a keyboard and go ba-bum, and that could be the start of something, as da-da-da-da was with Beethoven.
So he looked for ideas, which led him to pieces like the Pied Piper Fantasy, built around the famous story, and written for the flute master, James Galway, who also solos on Tin Whistle. He wrote a clarinet concerto, with the idea of taking to its limits that particular instrument.
I just simply said, I'm going to go into a direction of abandon that I think may never have been done before, but I'm going to do it.
After the clarinet concerto, Abandon and All, was played by the L.A. Philharmonic, filmmaker Ken Russell came calling.
He said, that's the man I want to write this Altered States piece, because I want it to be as wild as he is. just completely out.
So he got the assignment to score that movie, Altered States, 1980, about a scientist's efforts to unlock different states of consciousness. Kind of a composer's dream job. But circling back to the Red Violin, that was a truly fascinating departure for him. Corigliano thought he had composing all figured out.
I tend to be very critical of things I'm writing. I just don't write it until it's correct, and then I put it on paper.
He outlines each piece, knowing its structure and its highs and lows before writing a note of music, like a script for a piece. And he rarely indulges in romantic melodies, like the ones he heard in his childhood, played by his violinist father. But here he was, writing music for a movie about a violin.
And it called for a really lyrical, beautiful theme. And I was given permission, in a sense, by the movie to write this theme.
There are composers who can freely write music like this.
I'm not one of them. I'm the kind of guy who says, yeah, but how is that going to relate to the X, to the Y, to the Z? But in this movie, I did, of course. And then when I heard the result, I loved it. So there.
He loved it, but don't think this changed his life. It was only a movie. He returned to Plan A.
I resorted to my own specific critical and unsparing way of looking at music. I just finishing an opera. The subject matter deserves to be wild and not romantic.
John Corigliano turns 80 next week, a composer who can be critical, unsparing, wild, and romantic. It's Fishko Files. I'm Sarah Fishko.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.